Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
During those times when I felt the frustration, like, that's, like, now when I was younger, I would just, like, woe is me and probably do something self-destructive. Now it's like, okay, I'm going to become undeniable. Like, during that time, it forced me to work hard on the gym, think, how can I tweak my character? What is it that I'm not doing? Why am I not on top? Like, I feel like, in fact, no, I'm ready for it. And I would just look at every area of my game, like, literally just be honest with myself, take a step back, and figure out what is it that's missing.
Stand by.
3, 2, 1.
The following program comes from executive producer Lillian Garcia.
Every athlete is on this quest. Every performer dives in
head first,
battling real life challenges and overcoming obstacles in an effort to make their dreams reality. Singer, speaker, and 15-year WWE host Lillian Garcia was the first woman to ever announce WrestleMania
and is now the PFL MMA cage announcer.
Oh, yeah!
And now she's giving you an all-access pass to the human interest stories of elite athletes,
extraordinary entertainers, and wellness experts.
Now, let's embark on another fascinating journey
of chasing glory
with your host, Lillian Garcia.
Hey guys, welcome to Chasing Glory. I am Lillian Garcia, and if I sound somber, there's a reason. As you saw, we just said that this episode is in memory of my dear friend Howard Finkel. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Guys, I know you're hearing this on Monday, but today is Thursday, the day that I got the news that Howard Finkel passed away. It was a very, very rough morning, and especially because this whole week has been really rough with the furloughs and layoffs at WWE, just a lot going on, and add everything else that's going on with the world with this pandemic, and it gets very heavy. But I want to talk about Howard, and talk about Howard in a way that you might not know the story. You know, my very first day on the job, August 23rd of 1999, I was told to just show up. It was in Iowa. I didn't know yet what the job was going to be. In my audition, I had done like backstage interviews, but it wasn't until that day, Monday, that I was told at 3:30 that afternoon that I was going to be taking over Howard Finkel's job as the brand new ring announcer for Monday Night Raw. Whoa, talk about that moment being so heavy, so scary. I was emotional too, because replacing such a legend as Howard Finkel, I knew how much he loved that job. And I looked at him, I'll never forget, I looked at him and I'm like, how in the world am I going to do this? And he looked right at me and he says, because you can and you will, and I'll be right there to help you. And that's exactly what Howard did. So selfless. He could have been bitter about that because he'd been the announcer there for like 20 years. I mean, that was when you heard the voice of Monday Night Raw, you knew it was Howard Finkel. You heard those huge pay-per-views and WrestleMania. That was Howard Finkel. And here I come along with zero training, and I'm supposed to step in those shoes? Man, I tell you, it's crazy because it feels like it was just yesterday. But Howard and Tony Chimmel both really helped me. And anytime I had a question, anytime I needed any kind of advice, because I was learning on the job, I could go right to Howard because he said, anything you need. And I did. I went to him and I was like, I can't do this alone. I really need your help, please. And he was right there every single time, encouraging me, helping me. I mean, he mentored me without even knowing he was my mentor. And throughout the years, we created such a bond and a relationship from one ring announcer to another. I love being a ring announcer. I respect the job of being a ring announcer so much, which is why I still do it to this day. When the PFL called me and asked me to be the ring announcer for MMA, I didn't hesitate. I'm like, absolutely. I have a man that taught me what being a ring announcer was and how to cherish that position, how to create the special moment that really does start a match or starts a fight. And that was Howard Finkel's voice. And I worked so hard at it. I worked so hard because I wanted to respect what he left to me. He passed the torch to me. I will never forget that. And just his face, just that light that Howard Finkel had whenever he entered into a room. He just had so much love for the business, but for human beings, for the fans, for his co-workers. And I'm just so, so glad that it was just a few months ago that I reached out to him to see how he was doing. And I told him, Howard, I want you to know this. I want you to know how grateful I am for everything you did for that young girl that came in there that knew nothing about being a ring announcer and was put in that position. And you helped me win. You set me up to win. And of course, being Howard, humble, he's like, oh, I didn't do anything. Howard, you did. You not only set me up to win at my job, but you lit something in me so big in a position of being an announcer and really respecting that position and loving it and cherishing it so much. I love to introduce superstars and fighters and anyone who is getting into a position of putting their bodies on the line and working so hard at it. So Howard, thank you. I love you dearly. You will forever impact my life, forever be in my soul and in my heart. And any time that I get the opportunity, whether it's at WWE or at PFL or anywhere I'm inside a ring or in a cage, I'm going to be thinking of you as I try to give those bigger than life introductions. I'm going to be thinking of you. And that brings me to the releases and the furloughs that also happened. Those WWE superstars who have been affected by this coronavirus pandemic. We have from producers to announcers to referees and to superstars. We have WWE Hall of Famer Kurt Angle, Billy Kidman, Mike Rotunda, Pat Buck, Fit Finley, Sean Devari, Scott Armstrong, Sarah Stock, Shane Helms, Lance Storm, Aiden English, Mike Chioda, Rusev, Drake Maverick, Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, Eric Young, Rowan, Sarah Logan, No Way Jose, Mike Bennett, Maria Kanellis, EC3, Leo Rush, Primo and Emiko, and of course Heath Slater. I want to thank you so much for the entertainment that you have given us, for putting your bodies on the line, and a lot of the producers or former wrestlers. So yes, they put their bodies on the line. And even if they didn't wrestle, they were on planes. They were in hotel rooms. They were traveling 300 plus states a year. They were away from their families. There's so much sacrifice right here. So much sacrifice that I do want to point out something. None of this is fake. These are real people who are trying to do a job that entertains, that brings smiles to our faces. And now a lot of them can't go and just wrestle at independent shows because there are no independent shows right now. We are in a bit of a really shitty world right now. But as shitty as it is, I know that we can all get through it. We will. I don't want you guys to lose hope. Look, it's okay to shed tears. If you have to shed tears right now, just shed tears. Let it out. Stick together. Communicate. Reach out to people. Going back to Howard Finkel, I'm so glad that I was able to have that conversation to let him know how much he meant to me. I want to tell you guys to do the same right now. If you have any family members, friends, anybody that has done something for you in this life that has helped you, reach out to them. I've reached out to a lot of these people too and just said, thank you. I'm sorry that you've going through this. Thank you for what you've done. And just know you can get through this. With Heath Slater, you know, my guest today, Drew McIntyre, we recorded this interview right after Monday Night Raw on Tuesday. None of this had happened, so we're not going to touch on it because it hadn't happened. We spoke about Heath Slater, and we didn't know that he was going to be getting released the day after. He's a good guy. All of these people are so good. I'm just so lucky and grateful to have worked with like 95% of all of these people here. They've all affected my life. It is a family. And I can't wait to see them and hold them and hug them again. And one day we will all come together again. We will, I know it. And just want to thank you guys out there, the fans. You guys mean everything to us. And Drew McIntyre and I talk about that, about the importance of you and how he didn't get that opportunity, right, at WrestleMania, but how much he wants to be there with all of you, in front of you again. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Howard, thank you to all these superstars and producers and announcers and referees. Thank you. And any of you that are suffering out there, whether it is financial or you're losing loved ones, I'm sorry. We're all praying for each other. I think it's important to do that. And just know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this and we're going to be stronger because of it. I love you dearly, guys. I seriously do. Okay. I had Drew McIntyre on my show back in 2018. And when he won, man, I was like, I got to get your continued chase for glory. It's crazy, his story. It's insane, just all the ups and downs and then winning it the way he did. And he chose Chasing Glory to be the first podcast that he did right after winning the title. So Drew, thank you. I appreciate you making time for me and for the show and for everybody here. So guys, here we go. You're going to love this interview. This Drew's an amazing guy. Congratulations, Drew. You deserve this. Here is Drew McIntyre's continued journey of chasing glory.
Born and raised in Scotland, Drew McIntyre began making a name for himself at the age of 15 in the Scottish wrestling scene. Although he grew up loving soccer, he knew there was only one place to be, and that was the WWE. Knowing he had to hone and polish his skills, he started wrestling locally for British Championship Wrestling out of Glasgow, Scotland. At 6'5" tall, McIntyre easily made his presence known, and within a few years became one of the hottest prospects in all of Great Britain. After dominating the European wrestling scene, the WWE would scout and sign McIntyre to a contract. He dominated the company's developmental territories, and eventually he made his main roster debut, and within weeks would be christened the Chosen One by Vince McMahon himself. At the inaugural TLC pay-per-view in 2009, Drew McIntyre won his first WWE title when he defeated John Morrison for the Intercontinental Championship, where he held the prestigious title for 161 days. And he would prove that he wasn't just an ass-kicking machine when he partnered with Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal to form the highly entertaining 3MB. Unfortunately, in 2014, Drew McIntyre was released from his WWE contract, and although initially he felt shocked and unsure of his future, he quickly pivoted and decided to go back to his roots at Insane Championship Wrestling. He would continue to master his craft by wrestling for top independent promotions all over the world, and wrestling against some of the best independent wrestlers on the scene. In early 2015, he would make his Impact Wrestling debut, and after 1 year of making that debut, he would become the first ever Scottish-born TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Seeing his release from the WWE eventually as a blessing, Drew made it his mission to get back to the WWE. After 3 extremely successful years traveling all over the world, Drew McIntyre would re-sign with the WWE and join the NXT brand Better Than Ever. At NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, McIntyre defeated Bobby Roode to become the NXT champion, where he would go on to hold it for 91 days. During the 2018 Superstar Shakeup, McIntyre would make his Monday Night Raw return, forming an allegiance with Dolph Ziggler, where he quickly put every superstar on notice. It was just a matter of time before McIntyre entered the main event scene by winning the 2020 Royal Rumble match. He made headlines at the history-making WrestleMania 36 by becoming the first British-born wrestler to win the WWE Championship when he defeated Brock Lesnar, and the first to do it under a unique and forced circumstance of zero audience in attendance. Although winning the WWE title is a culmination of a 19-year journey, Drew promises the absolute best is yet to come. Get fired up, as it's about to get real, raw, and inspiring with WWE Champion Drew McIntyre.
All right, Drew, I'm so excited to have you. And I want to be completely upfront with people. You and I started this conversation and all of a sudden I realized and I looked and I said, I don't know what's happening, but it's not recording.
Yeah, well, it was gold, everybody. So if this is not as good, like we had this amazing conversation, it probably would have won a bunch of awards, but nobody will ever know, but we'll know. We'll know.
We'll still take we'll know. You know what? You're a champ, dude. You've been doing this for so long. You've had a great match one after another. And I know that right now we can continue having an amazing conversation and it will be golden. Cool. First of all, I want to welcome you back.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah. I want to thank you for making time for us. I want to thank you the fact that I know you've been doing a lot of media since winning the championship, which we'll get into. But I also want to, you know, just... it's special. It's special to me, Drew, that you're on here. It's special that you're making your first podcast appearance on Chasing Glory, and especially because of the conversation that you and I had in that one little room on the couch And it was back in July 23rd of 2018. Think of yourself back then.
Wow. 2 years. Time goes by too quick in this job. I remember asking Kane when I was like 23, 24. So I've been on the road for a couple of years. I heard about a year at that time, and it had flown by. And I asked him, I was like, you know, Glenn, has the past 20 years like flown by for you? The past year's gone kind of quick. And he just blankly looked at me and went, yes. I went, oh, okay. And sure enough, the past 12, 13 years or whatever have just flown by. It's unbelievable, like, how quick things move in this job.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, things are slowing down now. And we were just kind of talking about briefly and potential former conversation the world will never see about, you know, how we're all learning some lessons right now. And the biggest thing I'm trying to learn is to be more present. And that's a thing that I guess I struggled with, especially when I was home. So I think we can all use this time to better ourselves in a lot of ways. And when things go back to normal, hopefully we stick to all the lessons we learned during this time.
I think it's true. I mean, this has been definitely a forced pause on the world. I think we were just go, 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 go so much that the world, the God, whatever, your universe, whatever you believe in, has been like, oh no, I've got to slow this train because you guys are missing the point. That's at least what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah, and everyone, it's amazing. Like, I generally didn't like social media in the past. Like, I just see so much negativity and whatnot on there. And then during this time, I've seen like everyone kind of come together with fitness challenges and supporting individuals that maybe have mental health and mental health problems. And, you know, people that haven't spoke to friends and family in a long time are downloading like Zoom that we're using right now. And they're all getting on there and talking. And I've been on with my friends from Scotland. I've been on with my family and everyone's kind of reconnecting. So yeah, like there's a lot of good going on. And I finally see, like, okay, social media is good for the job. But the other stuff that I used to not like, the negative stuff, has now become a positive. And I say, okay, this is what social media was made for, everyone coming together and supporting each other.
See, that's the other reset. I feel like we needed a reset for social media because it was becoming this thing where we were comparing ourselves. We were so worried about, like, today I didn't post and I'm not worried about not posting. You know, before it was like, I got to post something. Let me just take a selfie and post. You know, there was this urgency, this desperation of I got to keep up, keep up, keep up. And I think now people are like, I'm just going to live.
Yeah, I think I said a line last night in my interview. Like, again, like, this is just me saying things how I feel. Like, it's not a line, a script writer wrote or anything. I can't remember how I worded it because it was just out there. But I don't know if anyone's aware, but the internet can sometimes be a negative place. Like, it's a shock to everyone. But since I won the title, it's genuinely been so positive. And I've been shocked about all the positivity that's happened throughout this week from all the fans online, from all the media outlets, all the way to like the ones that are sometimes controversial, like TMZ. Everyone's been so positive. It's really crazy and humbling. Everyone's been so nice and positive about it and excited for the future with myself as champion.
We needed you at this time, Drew. You are the perfect champion during this time. And I know that things did not work out in the image that you had, that you were probably expecting and hoping, that big moment of WrestleMania with the big crowds and everybody, you know, hollering and you hearing that, you're probably imagining that as a kid and it didn't come to fruition. But if there was anybody to have won the way that you won, it had to be you. And I think people can feel that even more when you did win and the fact that you won the way that you had to win. They almost felt bad in a way, but at the same time, they're like, thank you. Thank you for giving us some moment.
Well, thank you. It's almost fitting in the Drew McIntyre story, like how it happened. Like you saw in the Chronicle, when I found out about it, I was obviously upset. I showed the clip. I was really angry, very, very angry. But I didn't realize the magnitude of the situation until I got back home. I was still feeling pretty down on myself, feeling like, God, I just worked so hard to get to this moment. It's all happening the way I imagined, but it's not going to happen the way I imagined. I can't believe this. And I started watching the news and realizing what was going on and the fact that WWE was pushing forward with WrestleMania and going to give everybody an escape. The fact that I was going to fight Brock for the title in the main event, you know, that was bigger than my selfish reasons. And I started thinking this is a positive. You know, we're going to give everyone an escape. I can maybe give them a happy ending if they're invested in my story. I'm going to finally get that happy ending at the WrestleMania. And that's the biggest thing in the world to me. And watching it back, watching it on the couch, feeling like it was the first time watching it, because when I won the title, I hid the title upstairs in a room, wasn't allowed to look at it, put it on my head. It never happened. So I just relived the moment on the couch with the wife and the cats, reacting to every move. She almost got elbowed a few times when I was hitting claymores and taking F5, so she had to move to the other side of the couch. And I had the same reaction when I won the title. As I was holding it in my hands, I was sitting like with my chin on my knuckles, just watching it like, my goodness, it happened. And then almost my head clicking, oh, that's right, there's millions of people watching. And I had that moment where I reached out to the camera that I was so sure we'd get edited, but it was just a real moment for me where I wanted to thank everyone that supported me to get me to this point and believed in me, and thank everybody for choosing WWE as an escape during this time. And that was very real, that moment, and they kept it in there, and that was my WrestleMania moment right there. That's the clip that will live on forever in the WrestleMania, that will live forever as the WrestleMania when the world stood still.
What did it mean for you to be looking at the camera? Because, you know, they talk about don't look at the camera, don't look at the camera, don't break that, right? But you got that opportunity. I mean, you just felt that, right?
Yeah, I just did it. I had to just go with my gut now. And thankfully, it's been working out for me. And I think all of us, all the superstars, just need to take risks. If it feels right, do it. Worst that can happen is you get told don't do it again. That's obviously a big one. But I just couldn't help myself. Like, I just realize the situation, realize that there's millions around the world, there's not anyone here, and I have to just look at them. I don't want to like look off in the distance like I'm talking to an imaginary crowd. I wanted to look directly at them and tell them how I felt in that moment, and I felt very grateful. I just wanted to thank everybody, and I'm so glad that it, you know, stayed in there. I don't cry very often, but it brought some tears to my eyes on that couch.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you how, you know, usually when you win, you go through the curtain. All of us are usually back there to congratulate the champion. You walk into your locker. Everyone's, congrats, Drew. Congrats, Drew. Like, you didn't get that victory lap backstage after you won. You know, I can't even imagine what that felt like. So here you are at home watching it, which never happens. And because you had to pre-tape it because of this whole pandemic, how was that for you though afterwards, sitting there? And
I was good with it. That's my version of a celebration now. Obviously, in my 20s, as you know, you were with us at the time. We just hung out and partied all the time. That was the thing to do. And now my version of a good time is sitting with the wife and having a pizza or something. And I was good with that. And I'd accepted the situation for what it was. And I described this, I think, in a couple interviews prior to Mania, that usually there would be the big crowd there, 80,000 people there, and they probably would have been behind me and doing the countdown with me, and big reaction, family and friends ringside, to the back, seeing everybody, you know, the applause and whatnot, and in the locker room, and the adrenaline's going. And then, you know, that doesn't exist. And the only time you truly let out your real emotion, because there's so much adrenaline going, is when you finally get back to the hotel and you're by yourself or you're with your significant other, and you close that hotel room door and you take that title out. I've did this a few times with titles I've won over the years. As you take a moment, you look at it, and that's when the real emotion comes out. And in this situation, people got to see that moment. It was exactly like it would be in the hotel, because it was very quiet. It was very intimate. I had the title in my hands and I was off in my little Drew world like I would be in a hotel room, because there was no crowd cheering. So they got to share in that intimate moment where I was looking at the title like I would do, but I closed that hotel room door at the end of the night. And then I realized, oh crap, yeah, there's millions of people watching this. Brock Lesnar lying there beside me. And then that's when I kind of kicked back in. But they got to see that moment that would usually be very personal, and I'm happy to share that with them. I've shared my whole adult life with the wrestling fans of the world, and I will, I guess, for the rest of my life. And I'm, you know, very proud to have grown up in front of them all.
What a beautiful gift that you gave everybody. And even telling that story, it's going to be even more meaningful when people go back and watch it and realize that that's exactly what you would have been doing in the hotel room or at home, that you got to do that in that moment. I think it's gorgeous. And it just really sets up, I mean, what we talk about here on Chasing Glory. Chasing Glory is going to look so different, so many ways. And it really is the attitude that you have along the way. Now, you've had many ups and you've had many downs.
Oh, yeah.
I want to, because we're on the topic of this whole pandemic, and I think it's such an important question that I want to see that you can maybe help people through this. Because back in 2014, when you were with 3MB, and things were going all right with you and Jinder and Heath, and you know, you guys were doing your thing. But all of a sudden, you and Jinder
were on everything.
Yeah, you guys
were booked in every tour, every TV show. Like, we were featured superstars.
Right. All of a sudden, you and Jinder get the news, you're out. You've been let go. And so you were not prepared for that. It sideswiped you, right? It just took you right out. Your income's gone. Your dream, like, everything is just, what? That's kind of what's happened here with pandemic for so many people. They were not prepared. And at that time, you even said it. You were wrestling, but you were partying. Your mind wasn't business. You didn't save a lot, you know, any of that, right?
Yeah.
That's happened to a lot of people right now. Their lives have been sideswiped. They've just completely, everything's come to a halt. They've been losing their jobs. Some people have been losing family members. What would you say to people? Because you've been there in a different way, but maybe some of the lessons that you learned then can help people now.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people's situation is a lot bigger than mine at the time. But for me, like, it was difficult as it was at times. You know, I got upset, I got angry, I got so many emotions, I wanted to blame so many people. But I just kept trying to find the positivity and know that if I worked in every area I could possibly work on to push myself forward, if I just believed that things are going to turn around eventually and I keep my positive attitude. It's hard to do at times. It's really hard to do at times. I've been guilty of snapping and getting angry and getting upset. But if you keep that belief that things are going to pick up and whatever you can do to assist the situation, and you can look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm doing everything I possibly can to change my circumstances right now. And you just keep that belief. Trust me, as hard as it gets, when you're ready to give up, it could be just one more step and everything turns back around. So you just got to keep that belief. And I understand how hard it can be at times. And some people's situation, I can't understand it. But you just got to keep that faith.
I love that, Drew, because that is exactly what I think a lot of people, mental health. I mean, this has been talked about how this pandemic is going to reach people mentally before it does anything physically to a lot of people, to a lot. And how we get out of this and the lessons that we learn. Now, you, because you went through all those highs and lows and you were able to rebuild yourself, you've ended up saying later on that you were really glad that it was a blessing, even though as hard as it was a blessing. In what ways would you say that?
And it prepared me for every situation. Like, if I was given the title, and I know some people don't like me saying negative things about my past, but if I was given the opportunity, like a couple of guys in my position, it wouldn't have worked out. And it didn't work out for them, and it wouldn't have worked out for me. I just wasn't ready for that responsibility. As being champion is so much more than what you see on television. And all the ups and downs in the ring and out the ring, my personal life and being fired, I've said it all along, this journey I've been on is unlike anybody else. It prepared me for any situation. I'm ready to not be one of the top guys. I'm ready to be the top guy. There's nothing you can throw at me in the ring, out the ring, and media that I'm not prepared for, and I'm not going to let the company down. Obviously, nobody could have predicted this situation, and I felt exactly the same when this started happening. Was I want it even more. I want to be the one to carry the load. I want to represent WWE during this time, and I want, it was my story to inspire people out there during this time on the show. If we're pushing forward as a company, if we're bringing everyone this unique entertainment every week to take their mind off everything, I want to be the guy representing, and I'm trained for the moment, and hopefully my story will help people out there, because I'll be talking about it every week and I'll be overcoming is hopefully the storylines we're going to do going forward, because it's, I want it all to be very real. Like, everything, I just want 100% real. Like, you get the real Drew. I want real stories. Like Andrade last night, that was based on a real story. I tore my bicep. People could feel it. I could use real emotion, yes, remembering how I felt when I tore my bicep. And then going forward, I want everything to be as real as it can absolutely be. I want people to feel it. And that's very big for me right now. It's just nothing is like put on. I want Drew McIntyre. You see Drew McIntyre, you know it's going to be real. You're going to feel it.
Speaking of that, so you were in the ring last night and you were real. For me, I was like, this is so awesome. You are just you. I've gotten to know you through the years, so I see that, right? I'm not seeing Drew acting like a wrestler. I'm not seeing Drew acting like a good guy or bad guy or anything. It's you. What helped that transition? Because at first you felt like you had to do what the company was telling you to do, but now it's almost like you're being allowed to be you. What helped with that?
Yeah, I've been trying to pinpoint the moment. I've done a few interviews and I figured it was about the time I had a little injury. And I was like, and there's something not quite clicking. There's something missing. Like, I'm just big, angry Scottish guy who's done really well. Wrestled Roman at WrestleMania, the Undertaker's match after the Goldberg match. That went really well to get him looking good again. But there was just something not quite there where I couldn't see myself as the main guy. I'm like, just a couple of pieces left. I don't know what it is. And then when I came back, Ric Flair introduced me as a part of Team Flair and got me in the ring. And obviously, Rick's the most charismatic man ever. He had me flexing. We had a good time. We had a good back and forth. I had a match with Ricochet. I had Flair in my corner. He had Hogan in his corner, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
But I used that situation to start showing some more personality, and Flair would kind of direct me. And I got told, keep going with that theme. But Paul Heyman actually let me know the time where they kind of noticed, he's got something more to give here. I mean, Paul kind of knew, but the boss, I think, maybe saw this, where I did a dark match one time, and this was kind of brought to my attention. And they asked me, can you buy some time? They're setting up the cage. So I just strolled out and went, yep, give me a microphone. Like, I don't, thank goodness I don't have a script. I'm not talking about eating carcasses or whatever I've been talking about for the past year and a half, that no human being does, no one talks like that.
Right.
So I just got the mic and I was myself and I was just ad-libbing, which I'm way more comfortable doing. And I jumped up on the wall and I sat there and I just had a laugh with the crowd and they were all engaged and we were kind of having a good banter back and forth just with me as the conductor with the microphone. And I guess he saw that and went, oh, wow, I didn't know Drew could do that, basically. And I think that's, for the sound of things, what Paul told me, that's where it stemmed from, was the promo where I just sat on the wall and just interacted with the crowd. And he saw the real Drew. He seemed like the real Drew in real life, but he hasn't seen it on screen. And he went, that's the guy. I need to put that guy on television. I went, oh, that's great, because that's just real me. That'd be way easier.
Wow. I think people forget that. It's like, I don't know, because some guys, when they are themselves, it still doesn't work. So I think that was the other thing too. But I love that. I love that you've been let go, because even last night when you mentioned the line, I want to know if this line was there or not. Zelina's talking and she's waiting for like an applause and you're like, and the crowd goes mild.
Oh yeah. No, that wasn't in any script. Like, to be honest, like, I get the basic idea, the bullet points, and I always tell them, don't make me recite it, 'cause it's going to sound like lines and I don't know what I'm going to say. Like, just tell me what I have to hit. But yeah, if I had any advice for any of the guys and girls out there doing these empty arena things, is just go with the flow. Don't pretend there's a crowd there. Just feel the moment and just take it for what it is. Like, when I wave to the commentators, they're right there. There's no one else there. The cable guy got in my way. That's fine. It's real. People can see what's going on. I invited the cameraman in the ring, so I went to look down the camera. And sure enough, she gave this big introduction to Andrade, like you would do if there's a crowd there, so you get the big boo. And I couldn't help myself, and the crowd go mild. Like, stuff like that. Just, if it feels right, go with your gut and like just own the situation for what it is, and people will enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah.
Rather than, this is weird, they're talking to imaginary fans.
Right.
Don't okay. do that, I would strongly suggest.
Speaking of weird, though, it did look like you were really getting back at Andrade with the slaps. Like, holy cow. They look like they hurt so bad.
Yeah, dude, part was of the there story. A little like, bit? People have got it. No, there was no, like, Andrade hits freaking hard. He's even hit me back. He gives as good as he gets. But again, it's part of the story. That match had to have a different feel to it. My matches do have a more aggressive feel to them. But with the story we had going in, I just wanted it to be pure aggression. Andrade's aggressive as hell. I'm aggressive as hell. We laid into each other. And what's his name? Theory, the kid. Yeah. Made a mistake. He grabbed my foot at one point. That's not part of the plan. He grabbed my foot, which is cool. The referee was distracted. He went with his gut. It was a good heel move. But I'd looked around, I clocked him, and then I went, okay, you know, this isn't my first day. I go with the flow. You're going to pay for that.
Oh!
Backdrop over the top rope, got out there, and went, who was it? It was you. Got him up and gave him probably the hardest chop I've ever gave anyone in my life. And he spun inside out. So that's a nice little gift today, or GIF, however you pronounce it. welcome to Rocket.
Did you get to talk to him afterwards? Did he say anything to you?
No, he was happy. Very happy.
Yeah.
I wrestled him when he was about 19 a few years ago. So it's good to see how far he's come.
Oh, that's so cool. It's good. It's good. How many people are at the arena at the same time, though, when you guys are doing this now?
It's very limited. It's bizarre, but also necessary considering the current circumstances. You know, we're following the CDC guidelines, but I think we're taking even extra precautions just to make sure. So it is very bizarre. And Like, if you think, find yourself going, this is annoying for a second, it's not annoying. This is just the way of the world right now. And we've got to be as safe as possible and protect everyone there. And the times I've got a locker room to myself, it's like WrestleMania, I sat there just by myself in a whole locker room, went, ooh, so this is what it's like to be Brock. I've got my own locker room, but it's just because of the safety guidelines.
This is the way to be Brock. I love that. This is what it's like to be Brock.
So, okay. It's different. It's interesting, but, you know, it's necessary. There's another interesting thing about the Brock match, like, because the backstage area before you walk through the curtain is so small. So I was standing there. There's nobody there. There's silence out in the arena. And I'm like, I can't believe this is the main event of WrestleMania against Brock. And, like, my adrenaline's going, but it's not where it should be for WrestleMania main event. And my music hit and just something happened. I was just in the zone. Like, instantly, I got out there, got in the ring, saw the Mania sign. It was all real to me. Brock came out, and he was 100% invested. The look in his eyes, like, he was ready to eat me alive. In my head, if you could have read my mind, I was thinking, you pull any funny business in this match, Brock, I'll drop you for real. That's genuinely going through my head. And that was my favorite part, where we're staring each other down. And I was like, this is freaking cool. And I was so in the moment from the second my music hit, and especially when I saw Brock in his eyes. So,
wow.
Yeah. Even with this current situation, there are cool moments like that where you just flip right into it.
Yeah. My God, I never thought about that, how lonely it must be backstage. I mean, I have not encountered that. So I think about what backstage is like when I was there, and catering and everyone talking and the hallways being so packed all the time. And I can't even imagine how ghost town it must feel like.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre, especially when we're doing Raw live. You've got your live day where there's usually a lot going on, and there is a lot going on. I got to film a few things here and a few things there, but it was just myself kind of wandering across an empty area to each stage, and it is pretty, you know, bizarre. But when the red light goes on, you're just back in the moment. That's home as far as I'm concerned. That's where I'm most comfortable.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about Brock. Because this is really wild. And while I was sitting there thinking back to the interview that you and I had before, thinking of Jinder, right? Thinking of you, Heath, Jinder. It's like Brock has been a storyline with or somewhere tied in. Let me explain. Obviously, we know, well, before, when we did our interview, I think that Jinder had won. But I don't think that Jinder had the opportunity yet to be going against Brock.
No, I think AJ definitely won the title by that point, and he was supposed to have Brock, but then AJ beat him in the UK.
Right.
And then it was AJ and Brock, and they had that awesome match.
Right. So there's a tie with Brock there. Then in the interview that I had with you, you guys said that you and Jinder both teased Heath and said, come on, Heath, get in shape and go face Brock.
Yep. We kind of said that again last week. The guys at the bump, bam, surprised me with Sheamus and Heath. Those guys, buddy, almost had me crying. But yeah, I said the same thing to him. I was like, right, come on, Heath, that's me wanting it now. Get in the gym. I hope you're lifting weights there. I said, I know you've got a gym in your garage. So you're next.
So how wild that Brock continues to come up, and yet you're the one that got to face him, and you're the one that got to beat him. Has that even meant more to you?
Yeah, that means everything. Brock is an anomaly. He's such a protected character. You know, he's so believable because he's so unpredictable. And the fact that I went into the feud, not just like the every other feud with Brock Lesnar, where he just beats the guy up the whole time, and then maybe they barely win through like distractions or low blows or whatever. Like, I had his number all the way through, and then I beat him within 5 minutes and kicked out an F5 on one. And, like, I can't believe nothing goes ahead without his blessing, and I can't believe I was presented that way, and it just means the world to me. And the funniest thing is, outside the company, I've told this story a million times, I used the mental image of facing Brock at WrestleMania as motivation. So I was outside the company, I was the biggest guy all the time. I was like the Brock Lesnar everywhere I went. But so I needed something bigger to kind of imagine. I was like, what's the biggest situation? Brock Lesnar, he's the biggest draw. And, you know, against him, we could have a heck of a match. What's the show? WrestleMania. So I would use that when I was in the gym to push to get bigger so I could stand face-to-face with him and pass the eye test, especially for non-wrestling fans. I worked in the ring to get my intensity up as high as possible, and it was already pretty high. And I had to better myself, being like, you know, my verbal skills on the microphone and on the camera, because he's got one of the greatest talkers of all time, Paul Heyman, by his side. Mm-hmm. So I used that scenario as motivation outside the company. And to inevitably kind of work my way through and get that exact situation, I keep saying maybe I should have envisioned being the president of the world or something.
But would you really want that?
No, not right now. But hell, it's no. Crazy that I used that as motivation and it literally came true. It's wild. And I tell everybody, you know, if you believe something hard enough, I believed when I was in Scotland, everyone told me you'll never be signed to WWE, that American thing. And I believed it hard enough. I got signed and then I made it happen twice. And I imagined that match hard enough and it happened. So trust me, if you work hard enough and vision something hard enough, it happens. I've done it multiple times.
It might not exactly come out the way you thought, because obviously you were thinking huge stadium that would happen that way, but it will happen just in the way that it's supposed to happen.
Absolutely. And then in the end, it might even be more meaningful. Like in this, like Mania was, I think, more meaningful just considering the situation. And I've seen the replies and I've seen the messages and how much joy it brought so many people. And if I brought joy just to one person in the situation, I'd have been happy. But to bring it to thousands, and the social media numbers were astronomical. Like it was 13.8 million social media interactions. Wow. Up over 50% from last year. So a lot of people tuned in. So, you know, this Mania was very special. That moment was special. And to make people happy in this time means more than anything to me.
Okay, so do you visualize when you will be back in front of a crowd?
Yes, I can see it. I can't give you an exact timeline. I've not visualized that yet, but I have visualized the moment. I want to go into the show as champion. Our fans are already passionate and rowdy to begin with. The fact that this situation's happened, they're going to be so excited for anything. And I want to walk out in front of them. You know, I had my WrestleMania moment when I reached into the camera and thanked everybody. But I want to walk out there, raise the title, and then that's going to be like all of our wrestling moment. That's going to be freaking cool. And that moment's going to live in time. The first time, I want to be the first guy to walk out. I don't want any dark matches. I don't want any other shows pre-taped. I want to be the first guy to walk out there, raise the damn title, and everybody just to say, hell yeah, we're back. And that moment's going to live in time because that's going to be a huge-ass wrestling moment.
Okay, my eyes are watering. Seriously, thinking of that. Like,
oh, don't start me. Between like, no, Sheamus and Heath and you.
No, but seriously.
A crier.
Do you think about how many times we were in front of crowds? And sometimes because it is so many years. I mean, hell, I had 15 years of WWE. You've had 19 here and all. But you sometimes take that for granted. You know, another live event is just another live event. Now you get that pulled away. And how that feeling of, oh my God, I want that more now than ever. And how you start appreciating so much more and then you visualize it. And something that you've done for so many years is just walking out there in front of a crowd now can mean something so different.
Yeah, it's wild when you put it that way. And yeah, there are times, like I have to say during this run, because of everything I've been through, I made the most of every show. But there was times where I was sore and I was tired. And prior to the show, I was like, oh God, I don't feel good today. But I always wanted to perform and it always meant the world to walk out there and perform for the fans. If there was a small crowd there, I didn't care. I wrestled the same in front of nobody, literally now, but in front of a small crowd as I would in front of 80,000. Like they paid their ticket. And, you know, and not just this time, the times before, you know, it's not cheap for a family, a dad to bring a family of four or whatever. And I want to make sure I give them their money's worth. You'll always get your money's worth from Drew McIntyre. But yeah, there are times where we definitely didn't appreciate it as much as we should, and that will never happen again. And like we talked about earlier, we're all going to learn some lessons from that, from the situation. And that's one of the biggest ones of all, is every show is a gift going forward as soon as we're all back together.
Yeah. A beautiful story you shared with me before was your mom.
This is Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
All right, guys, I promise to get right back with the show because I love this interview. I love hearing all of these inspiring words, but I want to tell you about something right now that's going to inspire you. As you know, I'm a big advocate at taking care of yourself, whether it's mentally or whether it's physically. So let's talk about the mental game. How can you take care of yourself mentally, but at the same time have it be fun? Well, something that I found that I absolutely love are mobile puzzle games. And Best Fiends, whoa, blew me away. Okay, guys, it is so much fun. It is colorful. It is a puzzle game that anybody can do because it's just a casual play game. So you don't have to be a gamer. But your gamers, obviously, are gonna love this too. But anybody can play this, and you collect points, You go to different levels. You can also play with people online. That's pretty fun. All right, Best Fiends, check it out because right now it is free to download. It is always free to download. That's what I love about them. So get your free download, engage your brain with fun puzzles, and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this five-star mobile puzzle game, that's right, five-star mobile puzzle game, it's not easy to get to five stars. This is a must play. You can download Best Fiends for free on Apple App Store or Google Play. And that's Best Friends without the R. Okay, so even Bray Wyatt loves this. Best Fiends. Check it out now. Your mind is gonna love you for it. All right, so something else that I absolutely love is taking care of your body. Now, if you've been following some of my IG lives, you've been seeing that I've been doing at-home workouts with templates that have come to you from RP Strength. Who's RP Strength? All right, when I was looking for a workout program with something that would help me as I'm aging and as my body is starting to get softer and softer, I found RP Strength online. If you go to Instagram and you follow their RP Strength page, you're gonna see these before and after transformations that blew my mind, but I love their concepts. It was all about lifting heavy. And I remember I used to do that. And my body would definitely love that. I felt so, like, strong. Okay, but the gym's closed down. So, reached out immediately to RP Strength and they had a solution because they made at-home templates. Now, I didn't have the dumbbells that they were talking about and everybody online was sold out. So I started getting creative, grabbing some workout bands that I had and also these water jugs that I had. They're available. You guys can buy them out there. Okay, so I incorporated that and started doing these IG lives so that they could actually help you and I could show you what the templates are all about. But all you have to do right now, if you haven't seen them, is just go to rpstrength.com. Now, they are doing such a deal for you because they have all these templates, they have a diet app, they have everything to set you up right now while you're at home so that you can feel better coming after this than before, okay? And all you have to do when you go to rpstrength.com, make sure you use the promo code Lillian20. That's L-I-L-I-A-N, the number 20. That's gonna get you an additional 20% off. So they had a 60% off their $99. Now with the additional 20% off on that, these templates are now only gonna cost you $31. So that's it, $31 is your investment. You can have these at-home templates that you can do and you can feel so much better about your body and then your mind, everything will feel really good during this horrible, sad time that we're experiencing. Do something for yourself to feel really, really good. And check out, they also have one-on-one coaching. So much on there, merchandise, you're gonna love it. Go to rpstrength.com and make sure you use the promo code Lillian20. All right, now.
Now, more Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
All right, Drew, so I don't want to get emotional, but at the same time, your mom, it's something that you shared with us the very first podcast that was so dear, special, tragic, all of these things. But just to kind of give people, for them to remember what happened with your mom, I mean, you had just landed in Scotland. It was a routine trip that you were taking, and then all of a sudden, things didn't go the way that you had planned.
Yeah, far from it. Like, I landed, my dad and brother were at the airport, which was very unusual. We sat down and my dad explained what was going on. I didn't quite explain how bad it would get, but then she got sick again. And we went to the hospital and then suddenly we're in a room finding out it was just a matter of hours. If we're lucky, a couple of days. And yeah, that period was one of the worst of my life, just sitting there and hardly able to talk. And when everyone else is asleep, just we had eye contact basically the whole time. So, yeah, it really sucked during that period. But yeah, when I won that title, well, she was there. She was always there.
Yeah.
One guided me, and the one that guided me to my wife, who kind of changed things around for me since she's not here to kind of do that part. So I got Caitlin now.
Do you really?
Because of her.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you really feel like it was your mom that brought her?
Absolutely.
To you?
Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason she didn't leave me when I was being a freaking idiot for the first couple of years. Because I was still in rock star mode, let's say.
Yeah. Well,
she dealt with a lot and got this boy to turn to a man.
I'm sure that all of that, though, has helped you to be where you are now in the position that you're at. And it's such a big position that the fact that you grew so much from your mom passing and also your wife being there to help you evolve as a man. I mean, this has led you to be able to handle this.
Yeah. Everything in my entire life has always been a lesson and bettered me as a person. As horrible as some of the situations have been, obviously that being the worst, you know, I've learned along the way. That's for sure. And everything that I've been through has prepared me for anything that comes my way and has made me the man I am today. Like I always say, I wouldn't change anything. Like I would change that if I possibly could, obviously. But when people say, would you change things about your career and certain incidents or whatever, I always say no, because things work out the way they do for a reason. I wouldn't be in the position I'm in now. I wouldn't think the way I do now. If you change one thing, butterfly effect, maybe I wouldn't have met my wife now. So I'd do it all the same.
Mm.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
I know.
You're going to get me. You're going to get me.
No, but yeah, you were home in Scotland right before all of this happened. March 12th, in fact, you were at home. You didn't get to be there very long before all of this started happening where they said, we got to bring you right back.
Just recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I got there to the UK. I had media in England for a day. We flew to Scotland. And then I went to bed around 1 a.m. in Loch Lomond. We were filming a commercial at 8 a.m. But I woke up for some reason at 3:30, checked my phone, and they told me we're pulling you out. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, things must not be good, I guess. I didn't realize the severity of the situation, but I quickly contacted WWE rep in the UK. They hadn't heard anything yet. I told them, wake up the crew, like, get everybody prepared. Yeah, we're filming this thing early. Because my flight was now leaving from Glasgow at the time where we're supposed to finish the shoot. And I had to get there an hour early, and it was an hour drive.
Wow.
So we lost half the time to make the Braveheart style Rocky commercial. And so everyone got dragged out of bed, got ready. I was kind of on them, just like, sorry, but let's get to work. We've spent a lot of time in BT Sport in the UK. It spent a lot of money. So we got to work. It was so freaking cold, but you know, they did such an awesome job and the commercial came out great. But yeah, it was literally a day. And at 3:30 a.m, I got told we're pulling you out. I got on a flight to fly to Toronto for the live event. And there was no Wi-Fi on the plane. So when I landed, the phone came on. And sure enough, the event had been canceled when I was in the flight.
Oh, wow.
So everything was going on during that period. And it was like, okay, get home right now to Florida. And that's kind of when the anger and disappointment kind of started turning into, oh my goodness, this is way worse than I thought.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh. I mean, so your dad, your brother, all of them are there. How are they, by the way, during all of this?
Yeah, same as everybody else. They're just getting used to things, trying to look at the positives. They're talking, like they keep in constant contact. My brother has a son who's nearly 2 years old. So they've been talking way more, just like everybody, it seems, right now, especially in the UK, like all the video chats, etc. And my dad works in a prison, so obviously he's an essential.
Oh, wow. I never knew that.
Right now. Yeah. The world's nicest man works in a prison.
What does he do? Corrections officer? Or?
Yeah, he's more in the, I don't even know if this is that job title. He runs the shop, basically, wherever the prisoners kind of want. He's got a company credit card, kind of handles like, all the supplies. Basically there. So yeah, if he was actually like hands-on with them, I'd be I'd be worried. But yeah, he has to do all the trainings, had to put a few of them in their place a couple of times. I just can't imagine it. I've seen him a couple of times over in my life, but never around me or the family. But if anyone stepped out of line in public, I have seen him kind of put them in his place. He has a big, strong man. It's just his personality so nice. He cries at anything to do with me and my brother. Like, so proud. But yeah, he's there 5 days a week.
Wow. I can't imagine how he was. Because was he planning on coming for WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was coming. My dad and his wife were coming. My brother, his wife were coming. My aunt, an uncle, my cousin, and her boyfriend. Like, basically the whole family were making their way over, especially after the Royal Rumble. Like, my brother said, I have to be there. Like, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as the Rumble happened. So, yeah, things like that. It's disappointing, but I got to see them on the Zoom afterwards. I talked to them before. We actually maybe have the footage, maybe in a future WWE special. We might see the footage. Like us talking on the Zoom and everybody on the screen.
Oh, that's cool. So,
yeah, so it was pretty cool. My dad couldn't speak for about half an hour, so he had to send me a video eventually of himself and his wife opening a new bottle of champagne and cheersing. He still couldn't talk in the video, but he was able to get a couple of words out.
Emotional?
Oh, yeah. He's the world's most emotional man.
That's where you get it.
In every interview. So, yeah. Like, I get my toughness from my mom. And, yeah, the emotional, nice guy side, I guess, from my dad.
That's cool, though. I love men that can tap into their emotional side. I really do. I think it's important. And I think that more and more we need to talk about that. I think that you're in a position. I mean, for me to be like, hey, men, go ahead and share your emotions is one thing. But if you, 6'5", the champion, can say to another guy, it's okay to cry. It's okay to show your emotions. I think it's good to give people permission. And that's a release, because I think that helps mental health.
Yeah, 100%. And, unfortunately, like, I lost a friend a couple of, just last year to mental health. And I've wanted to do more for that area and let everyone know, it is okay to not be okay. And if you're struggling, just please talk to somebody, anybody. Call the hotline if you want to be anonymous. Whatever it takes, because, it's hard bottling it all up inside, and it does feel good to let it out. I'm just so fortunate, I've got a wife. I can bend her ear all the time, and my family. But yeah, no matter what your situation, just it feels good just to get it out there. And there's always people that are willing to listen, no matter what the situation is, whatever you're going through. There's people there that will always listen.
I'm sorry about your friend, because I didn't know about that. And
yeah, it was a guy in Scotland. It was kind of all over the place at the time, very unexpected. It really was. So.
But I'm glad that you're speaking about it now, because you are in a leader role. You're in a very prominent role where people are listening and following advice that you give. So I'm really glad that you're speaking. Again, one thing is coming from me as a female. We've always been okay with sharing our emotions. But men, I think more and more that has to happen, and in a productive way. I'm not talking about going and sharing your emotions about being angry, because I think you guys do that very well already. But sharing your emotions of sadness or frustration, but in a way where it's like in a vulnerable way.
Yeah, for sure. No, don't tweet it. Like, if you're upset about something about wrestling related, for example,
no.
Maybe don't tweet about it, for goodness sake. Like, I understand your frustration, and maybe it is upset, and maybe it is affecting you mental health wise. Just speak to a friend about that. Be productive, be sensible about it when it comes professionally, but personally, if you're struggling, definitely reach out and talk to someone. And it is okay to not be okay. And me and my buddies talked about when our friend passed, so we wish we knew what was going on, because we just never spoke about it, and it was so unexpected.
Yeah. Wow. I want to ask you something, because you did have a bit of when you came back, when you went back to NXT, it was amazing. Then you got transitioned to Raw, and then you started doing really well with Dolph Ziggler. Things were going on the right direction, and then things started dipping again. And I remember seeing you, it was just November, this past November, NXT, I was there interviewing a lot of the NXT superstars for Chasing Glory, and I saw you and I was like, how you doing? You were like, I'm a bit frustrated. I'm ready. I didn't come here to be anything but the top person. and I'm just frustrated and I'm just so ready and I'm so ready and I'm so ready. Can you take us to the moment that it went from that to now you're champ?
What happened? Like during those times when I felt the frustration, like that's like now when I was younger, I would just like, woe is me and probably do something self-destructive. Now it's like, okay, I'm going to become undeniable. Like during that time, it forced me to work hard on the gym, think, how can I tweak my character? What is it that I'm not doing? Why am I not on top? Like, I feel like, in fact, no, I'm ready for it. And I would just look at every area of my game, like literally just be honest with myself, take a step back and figure out what is it that's missing. Like, and use that frustration productively rather than against myself. And I, like, my wife's great for this situation because she's not a wrestling fan. Still won't watch the show and like only watch my stuff. But I prefer that because it gives an opinion outside, and I'll ask her just to like, okay, for you, like, you're not a fan, like, what do I need to be doing different? What is it that's not like connecting with you as somebody who doesn't watch wrestling? She would give her honest opinion, like very much so sometimes.
Yeah.
She'll always keep my feet on, she'll always keep my feet on the ground. But yeah, that's like what you got to do. You just got to look at yourself honestly and think, okay, what is it that's missing exactly? And eventually, if you keep working hard, you keep bettering yourself, things will 100% work out. And mine, I guess, was that the final pieces was the character just wasn't quite there, wasn't connecting, because the 6'5" hairy giant Scotsman who was angry all the time wasn't relatable, except to the other 6'5" giant hairy Scotsman angry in Scotland going, I get that guy. Just for the rest of the world didn't quite get me. And that's what I had to figure out, and that's why we're on the right track now, is because those final pieces, you know, were figured out.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Like when we're saying, when I said just teaching men about being able to be vulnerable, you allowing the vulnerability, you allowing you to be you, you allowing to be real and not just be angry all the time, is what has made people connect with you. So that's my point of vulnerability is a strength.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, it's made such a difference to go out there and I guess show more, like not just personality, but more of my emotions, like and how I really feel. And that's, I guess, the biggest thing, even to the boss himself, who says, you know, you're not playing a part, you are the part. You can see you genuinely mean it. Like when I'm thanking everyone for letting me in the living room, and all of the superstars feel the same. That's not something I'm told to go say because that's what the company wants the message out there. That's me genuinely saying thank you, and hopefully my eyes and convey that. That's why I wanted the guy in the ring, the cameraman, get in here. Like, look in my eyes, like, see I'm being serious. This is not something I'm told to say. This is something I mean.
Yeah, I love that.
Like you say, like be the, like don't play a part, be the part. He used to tell me when I was 24, and I never understood his lessons. He used to talk in riddles all the time. But yeah, it's amazing. Like these days, it's amazing how like we're talking the same wavelength. It's like such a legend. It's so awesome. He had that awesome match with AJ. But when I was younger, bloody hell, I'd talk to Sheamus, who was kind of had Triple H in charge of him on Raw, and I'd take her in charge of me on SmackDown. He'd talk about how Hunter sat him down and explained it step by step, and Taker would sit there and just kind of give riddles that I could never figure out. It's like, stop playing the wrestler and be the wrestler. I'd walk away like, what the hell is he talking about? He's giving me these riddles. Finally, when the light bulb went off, like I was like, okay. He was giving all these lessons. I just didn't understand what he was saying. I was like talking a different language at the time.
Yeah. So, oh my God.
I look back at that.
It is fun to look back at that. Oh my God. That's priceless, dude. That's priceless.
Yeah. There's another one. God, that's a lined up as like clips on the internet. Like when it, like things that Undertaker said to young Drew. When I tried to grow a beard for the first time, what was it? He said, I've got more hair on my ass than you've got in your face, boy. So these are the things that are going to be all over the dirt sheets.
I love it. I love it. That's so great. Oh, man. But, you know, thank goodness for people like The Undertaker, just even in riddles, because that stays with you.
Always stayed with me. He's a freaking man in every possible way. And that's the kind of leader like I want to be like. You just knew, like it's in Romans that like, you can tell as well. He's got that same kind of presence. Like you just know, like that guy's the man right there. And that's like, if I got a question, if I'm unsure about something, I want to go to that guy. And that's like, hopefully the other talent know they can always come to me and ask, because I've been through so many unique situations and I've always there. Like I wouldn't force myself on anyone. If you've got a question, I'm always there to answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you're in a very small club because not only have you and Brock performed in front of, obviously, everybody who performed it at WrestleMania, but winning the championship. But do you remember, this was not forced, that's the difference, but do you remember 1999? It was called the Halftime Heat match with The Rock and Mick Foley. Yeah, and Mick Foley won the championship. And it was, there was no audience. But like I said, the difference is that wasn't forced. But you're part of that club, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I never thought about that, like the empty arena match. I remember Terry Funk had a few good ones as well back in the day. But as a like a kid, that was like the big match for me. Like, wow, this is so cool, like in the empty arena. And obviously, with those two guys are so entertaining, and especially The Rock did the commentary the whole time. Like, that was a really cool match, I remember.
Yeah, well, you're part of that club now.
It's wild. There's a few clubs I've been seeing people giving me facts. So the internet's great. They always update me for all the facts because I forget half of my career. Yeah. And they always remember everything for me. And I know, like, Seth stomped me out last night, so we'll address that next week. But someone did point out to me, myself and Seth are the only ones to have won the FCW, the NXT, and the WWE titles, which is pretty interesting.
Oh, wow. I didn't even put that together. That's amazing.
Oh, no, did I. They told me. Yeah. I was like, all right, maybe that'll come into play going forward. I don't quite know yet. All I know is he stomped me twice.
And so I wanted to ask you about that. How do you feel about starting this angle now with Seth?
I'm excited. Like, Seth and I obviously have history together with when he was champion himself and when he was part of the Shield. That's been like my primary feuds, I guess, that I've been part of. And now with the roles reversed and Seth doing this Messiah deal, I think it's going to be pretty interesting. And I know it's going to lead to some great matches. That's the part that's for sure. But I'm excited with the prospect of the story because, like I say, I want everything from now on to be real and to be like very good from a story perspective. And, you know, he's got a cool new thing going on. Mm-hmm. I'm just Drew now. And so it's like the roles are switched. So it's fresh again. Plus, yeah. I was in groups for so long. Like I've said to everyone, when I was talking to being frustrated, I was like, man, I just keep going from group to group to group. Like Dolph and I, that was cool. And suddenly it was me, Corbin, and Lashley for some reason. We called ourselves the Buddies of Bedlam. And we just lose to the Shield all the time. And then I was with Shane, which was cool because I learned a lot from Shane. But it was always groups that I was part of. And then things work out the way they work out for a reason. You just, again, you got to keep that positivity that things are going to work out and work hard to make it happen. Because inevitably, when I won the title, I was talking to one of the writers and he pointed out, you know, that you can feud with anyone because you've not feuded with anyone when you're part of groups. So I used to get annoyed about that. I'm the first champion that's got fresh feuds with everybody.
Wow.
Things work out for a reason.
Things work out for a reason. Well, I'm excited to see what you and Seth do. And I do love this new look, this whole new persona that Seth's got. And I love you as you being you and just expanding that. And so I'm excited for you, dude. I'm so excited.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for seriously what you guys are doing. You're still, you know, putting on shows. You're still trying to entertain the crowds and entertain all of us in a different way in our homes. But you're putting yourselves on the line by doing that as well.
Yeah, and we happily do it. Like, that's what it's all about right now. Everyone's doing their part where they can. And if WWE can keep pushing forward and keep following, you know, the safety protocols to a T and just take everyone's mind off it for, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, then we are more than happy to do it. There's not one person that's there complaining about it. So every single person feels the same, like we're doing a good thing right here. And if it, again, for me personally, if I made one person happy for 3 hours they're watching Raw, then it was worth it.
Yeah.
So to do it for multiple people, more than worth it.
Well, you've done it for a lot of people here on Chasing Glory because they really do tune into the show for some inspiration. As we say here, real, raw, inspiring. So thank you, Drew. I love you dearly as a person, just seriously. I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. You deserve this. You earned it. And it's just cherish it, as I know you will. And this will all make sense in the end.
Absolutely. That's the thing. Just keep the faith, you know, be positive. And like I say, just when it seems like it's too much and you're ready to give up, just this one more step and things can all turn around.
Mm-hmm. I remember asking you this at the very end last time when I said, has your chase for glory looked the way you thought it was going to look? And you had said before all this, like I said, this was July 2018, but you had said, no, but you were very grateful that it didn't look. And now here we are again, it looking so different.
Yeah, the answer again is no. My career is never going to look normal. And that's what's normal for Drew McIntyre, is that it's never going to be normal. And it's going to make a heck of a movie and a book one day. I'm going to get The Rock to make my movie one day. It's been so crazy. Also, for forget, I've got this thing right here.
Yes!
Look at these plates. Oh, I think my... Yeah, Brock's plates didn't look great, but I quite like my plate.
Oh, show it off one more time. Show it off one more time, dude. That is amazing. Oh, sweet.
I keep it beside me just to remind myself that it's real.
It's like real.
In the office here.
Dude, you've earned it. It took a long time, but you know, it's the same thing. Even when Kofi won it, everybody could appreciate him winning it even more because it was such a long time to get there. And here, such a long time and your ups and your downs, and but you never stopping. I love that. And it really is a hero story. So thank you.
No, thank you. Kofi was really cool about it when I won. Himself and Morrison were talking and they saw me with the title and both obviously knowing each other, all three of us, for a very long time. So they were both, you know, very happy for me. So that was a cool moment. The guys I go way back with.
Yeah. Does Morrison look at it now that he's back? Does he look at it and does he say anything like he wants it too?
Of course. We all want to, like, if you're in the company, you're not inspiring to be WWE champion, then why are you even like in the company in the first place? You should always, you know, think big. Just trust me, if you work hard enough, things will happen.
You're a doll, Drew. I love you dearly. I seriously, you know, your heart, you're everything. You just work so hard. You're such an inspiration. I meant it when I said it. You really are the perfect person for all of this to be happening during this time. I don't know if you believe in God, but like I do, God had this big plan for you.
Thank you. And I always say that I do believe things go the way they go and work out the way they do for a reason. Because in my experience, you always get to the destination as long as you keep the faith, and you will get frustrated along the way. You will get angry along the way and upset. But as long as you keep working hard and keep believing things are going to turn around, and you're doing what you can to turn them around, and they always do.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger and I wasn't giving it my all and I didn't have any faith, the things were going to turn around. They didn't. So positivity brings positivity. Negativity can only bring one thing.
It can only bring one thing. I know. And there's so many people that are going to be suffering through this right now and feeling so negative and down and, you know, money-wise too. I know it's a crazy thing, but hopefully it can make us realize that here in America, we're richer than we really think we are. And just the small things, not to take them for granted.
Yeah, I really hope people start seeing that. When I see things like the Venice canals clearing up and dolphins in there, and like the world is like healing itself, and people are becoming better people. And like I say, for me personally, just becoming more present with life and not talking about wrestling 100% of the time when I'm home.
Yeah.
And being in the moment, because life goes by so quick. And I know for other people with regular jobs, their kids and stuff, life moves so fast now where everyone's slowing down and appreciate, and it's bringing people closer together. And I just hope we don't lose that. And I hope, you know, we don't keep messing up the earth again. If I see the Venice Canal get dirty again, I'm going to fly over there and beat everyone up.
All right. Well, people are going to continue, as we were saying, social media is so important. Let everybody know how to find you on social media.
Oh, no, I'm on the
Wasn't
spot.
It D. McIntyre?
Yes, it was at D McIntyre WWE. That's the one on Twitter and Instagram. WWE run my Facebook. People keep getting annoyed with me back in Scotland that I actually know, because they keep sending messages on the WWE Facebook. I don't post that. Sometimes the words are not even words I would say. I have to message them and say, change that wording. I would never say that. So it's not me on Facebook, just so you know. It's WWE. So Twitter and Instagram, get me there.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, my dear. Take care.
This is Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia.
Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you guys subscribe to this channel so that you don't miss a single video or live stream. And definitely share this with a friend. All right, follow the show at Chasing Glory on Instagram, at Lillian Garcia on Instagram and Twitter, and Lillian Garcia official fan page on Facebook. For everything Chasing Glory, just go to chasingglory.com. Until next week, go out there and live with much peace, love, and passion. And remember, always be yourself and trust that it's enough. Mwah. See you guys. Bye.
Thanks for joining us here on Chasing Glory from executive producer Lillian Garcia.